Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. This week, Pastor Jim, Janetta, Daniel, and Ken talk about the state of the church.
Yeah, so we're going to give you a state of the church 2015. That's supposed to say 2016. I don't know why it doesn't. Oh, that's on me. So, hey, Happy New Year. I've already messed up. So we got that out of the way right away. Hey, those of you that are regular part, today is a very different day. Those of you that have never been here before, or this is your first time in a long time, today is very different. In fact, I would encourage you, come back next week, because that'll give you a taste of what we normally do. But today is a little different because we wanted to take time to talk about what we're calling the state of the church. Now, we are taking our first swing at this in quite some time. You know, I've been here about a year and a half, and Pastor Jim told me that he did a vision talk several years ago. Can't even actually remember exactly when he did that. And so this is a first. We're experimenting. We're trying something new, as Janetta even alluded to. And so I wanted to lay some ground rules for our time together. This is Pastor Daniel on the far right, my far right, your far left. This is Pastor Jim right here. And then this is Janetta, Pastor Janetta right here. And then I'm Pastor Ken. And so the four of us are up here. I will tell you right now, Jim and I are going to do more of the talking than Daniel and Janetta will. But I just wanted you to be aware, we're going to be up front. We're going to be moderating this conversation. We have notes in front of us because we have very important things we want to talk to you about where we've been, where we're at, and where we're headed. This is not a question and answer time. This is not a time to shoot questions. If you have questions, there's actually a note-taking guide that was on your table. And I say note-taking guide, there's no guide. It's just a blank sheet of paper for you to write notes. Or if we say something or you hear something or you think of a question, write it down. And then here's what I would ask you to do. If you need clarification on anything we say today, take us out for a Coke or a cup of coffee. Yeah, you can do that. Daniel would prefer Olive Garden. I'm good with Starbucks. Jim doesn't need anything, and Janetta loves almonds and other assorted nuts. So if you have dry kale, I suppose that'll work for Jim. But anyway, take notes and then call us up, and we can talk about it. Now, again, as I've said, this is a first-time experiment. And so we know that today could be, as Janetta alluded to. Now, Jim likes watching public access television and watching school board meetings and other assorted PTA government meetings. And yeah, most of you aren't like that. And that's probably a good thing. Thank you, Jim, for your passion for those things. We're going to try and keep it engaging, but we're also going to try and keep it moving. And so I'm going to be the moderator of the four of us. If we need to move on to another point, I'm just going to jump in. So I've been praying that I won't be mean or rude, but to keep it moving. So give us this. We talk language-wise with our staff. We talk about having an umbrella of grace. That there are certain times we say things, just give me a huge umbrella of grace. And so would all of you just, for a moment, take your hands like this. Would you just do this with me and say, I'm going to give this whole morning a huge Carol, a huge Josiah, Trasia, come on, a huge Jude. Come on now. There we go. A huge umbrella of grace for this morning. We're learning. You're learning. If we end this time and we go, wow, that could have been a lot better, trust me, we'll feel it too. But we want to talk to you about things that, well, frankly, can I just say it this way? I know most of you in the room love God. You love Jesus. You're thankful for the Holy Spirit. And you appreciate the church. But my guess is the four of us tend to think about this place a lot more than you do. Just like you think about your family or your job or your friendships in ways that we don't always think about. And so we realize there might be some things that we, as pastoral leaders here at the church, that we're really passionate about, that keep us awake at night, that we cry out to God about, that might not even be on your radar. And so to have a time where we just talk through and update and share our heart, I think it's important for you to know Daniel and Jim's and Janetta's and my heart on things that might matter to you. Just like you say, well, you might need to know my heart on something. Exactly. That's why Coke, coffee, take some notes, write some questions, because maybe that will be helpful to this process. But let's experiment together. Let's give a huge umbrella of grace. And let's just see what God would do. And with that, let's pray. Okay? Let's pray. God, I just pray that you would be all over this time together this morning. That God, as the four of us share from our hearts the things that we've been just thinking about, talking about, praying about, that God, you would enlighten our time together, that you would use our words and use our thoughts, and not just the four of us, but all of us as a church. We want to be the best Olathe Wesleyan Church we can be in this coming year. We thank you for the church, its history, its heritage. We thank you for the fact that the foundation is Jesus. We pray, God, that you would use this time for your purposes. In Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So, first thing we're going to talk about, multifaceted ministry. We are not just Olathe Wesleyan Church. We've got, and Todd's going to put this stuff on the screen for us, five different ministries. We've got Immigrant Connection. We've got Kids Own Learning Center. We've got Mosaicon. We've got the Counseling Center. These are the five different facets of ministry taking place at this church in this facility on a regular basis. And so we want to talk about that. And the first thing we want to do is we want to talk about Immigrant Connection. And that's exciting. So, Jim, have at it.
Sure. As many of you know, in 2015, we started a new ministry called Immigrant Connection Incorporated. It's a ministry that provides legal immigration services to those in our community who need those benefits or who would like to apply for those benefits. When we started it, I knew that we would be providing a service that was needed in our community, but I didn't realize how needed it was. The needs are great in our community. You just listen to the news, you begin to realize that immigration is an issue. And what we say around here is that immigration may be an issue, but immigrants are people who are dearly loved by God, who we have the privilege of being able to serve as the Olathe Wesleyan Church. It's been an incredible ride. It's been an incredible experience. If I could share with you stories of people's lives who are being changed and impacted as a result of the Ministry of Immigrant Connection, you would be amazed. Just want to share some statistics with you with regards to how this year has been so far. And I believe I've got some stats. So far, we've got 321 people who have come through our doors as a church. It's pretty incredible. 154 cases that we've seen come through our doors. These are the nations or the countries that people who've come through our doors, where they're from. It's pretty incredible that God is bringing to our church the world as represented by this map. And it's pretty cool. It seems like almost every week we've got somebody from another country that's coming through our doors that we have the privilege to be able to serve and to try to lend a hand and to provide a service that's much needed in our community. These are the types of cases that we've seen. So visitor visas, DACA, FOIA requests, petition for alien relatives, adjustment of status, removal of conditions, employment authorization, renew permanent resident cards, fiancé visa, naturalization, citizenship, religious worker visas, and then U visas, which are people who have experienced, been a victim of a crime, may qualify for a benefit, and so we've helped a number of people who have been victims of crime or victims of domestic abuse and violence. So thank you for allowing Olathe Wesleyan Church to kind of lead the way in that. Just so you know, just as a larger movement, the Wesleyan Church is kind of focusing on developing immigration centers across the country. Mm-hmm. And we were the first one to apply. We were the second one to be approved. And to date, as of December 31st, there were 7 centers in Wesleyan churches across the United States. So thank you for leading the way in allowing us to be part of this, making a difference in our community and literally across the country.
Excellent. Excellent. Hey, church, that's worth celebrating. That is worth celebrating that God has provided this opportunity. And for Jim and then for Carol Freeman to come along and for the two of them to work together, it's just been phenomenal around here. That's part of you. That's part of us. That's part of what we do. Can we actually just thank God for that today? All right. Oh, thanks, Jim. Kids Zone Learning Center, our daycare and preschool. Jenna, tell us, what's this last year been like? Where we're at?
Well, it's really been an exciting and challenging year at the same time. First, one of the first things that's been really cool is how many languages we have spoken on staff, which is the first language of the workers. We have 7 different languages that are spoken on staff. That in and of itself has helped to lead the way into immigration and networking into our community, so that's really exciting. Another thing that's been phenomenal this year is to watch to see how teachers have come together to pray for their class and for the families and for each other. You need to know that we don't just hire Christ-following teachers. We hire Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus and all of the realm that's together, but we are a Christ-centered center. So here in our place, we have the opportunity to pray and to teach about Jesus, which is amazing. And it has been fun to see one lady in particular that works here. Her husband is totally changed, and she's not been a Christ follower. But I said, "What man, he is like totally different now." She goes, "It's because I am praying to God." And that is a real change and a real step forward that is amazing. Another thing that's happened just recently that's pretty exciting to us is because of our network with Parents as Teachers, which is in the Olathe School District. We are the only center in Kansas that has this. They come out every month and help to just train teachers. The reason they come is because we have Spanish-speaking people in other languages that are part of our staff. The federal government came in with a loan or whatever. Anyway, they were wanting a center in this area in Johnson County that they could join in with for early Head Start. And we were recommended because of our ministry. Now, when the school system says, "I would recommend that place because of their ministry, I think it fits right in with who they are," that's amazing. So whether we go and it comes to fruition or not, what was really cool is that the reputation of the people that work here, of the people that attend here at church, has gone far beyond into our community. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, that's worth celebrating too. Yeah, and Kids Zone Learning Center has 27, 28 staff. We've got 69 or 70 students currently enrolled. There's a huge waiting list. We actually have people that call in, say, "Hey, my husband and I are going to start trying to have a child. Can we enroll the child that is yet to be created?" I mean, that is the reputation of Kids Zone Learning Center. Seriously, it's crazy to think about. And every now and then we do get the question. Jeanette alluded to it. You know, we don't hire only Christ-following people. We teach Jesus to our kids. They have to talk about Christ. It's a ministry within a ministry. One of my favorite moments, one of our teachers who's not a Christ follower came in to make copies, and I was in the office, and she said, "Hey, why do you Christians call it Good Friday? I know the story of Jesus. Why do you call it good? It should be called horrible." And I said, "No, I think we named it wrong. It shouldn't be good. It should be Incredible Friday." And I got to share about Jesus with one of the teachers, and that happens all the time. So thank you. Thanks, Jeanette. Thanks to your staff. And just pray for the parents and the families, right? So Mosaicon Comunidad de Fe, Pastor Roberto Moreno, he is not here this morning. He'll be here this afternoon because they meet in this space on Sunday afternoons, and Jim asked for Roberto to send a brief update. So why don't you give us an update on Mosaicon?
Mosaicon meets here, as Ken said, on Sunday afternoons. It has been an interesting journey, if to say the least. Pastor Roberto is actually bivocational, trivocational, has several different jobs. He commutes to the area. He lives over in Raytown, and so that's been kind of a pressure point. A prayer request I would have for you is that Pastor Roberto would love nothing more than to be full-time in ministry, and would love nothing more to be able to live in this community, to pastor Mosaicon, these people. But some obstacles have stood in the way in that, and so just be praying that God would open a door for Roberto to be able to be full-time, open a door for Roberto to be able to relocate to this community to pastor Mosaic on full time. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a prayer request I'd like to share.
Yeah, so this year they've been studying through the Bible, the primacy of God's Word, making disciples, connecting with new families. They're a small congregation. I know Mark and Denise Brown have been a vital part of Mosaicon, and it's been cool to see them as a representation of us have that connection. Thank you guys for the time and the effort, the energy. I know even before I came here, Jim told me about the Browns and how they were partnering with Mosaicon, and they're speaking Spanish, they're teaching at ESL, which we're going to get to in a minute, and even just how their resources that they would normally place here are going more toward Mosaicon to help that ministry happen. And just thank you guys. Thank you. Isn't it great to know that when we're done and we're gone and we're having lunch or taking a Sunday nap, there's another group of people in this room worshiping God? It's so cool to think about. Is it okay? I didn't build in clap time, but it's awesome. Counseling Center, I'm going to tackle this one. Counseling Center, the Counseling Center opened, and we're so excited about that. Jessica Rich, her husband Gary is here. Jessica's working today. She works a lot of Sundays, but Jessica is a licensed counselor. She is a Christian, and She counsels from a Christian perspective. You know, it's an interesting thing as a counseling center. We can't tell you too much about it because it's a private, confidential ministry. You get that, right? Like if Carol happened to have gone to see Jessica, which maybe she did, maybe she didn't, I don't know. She probably could greatly benefit from it. But I'm just picking on you, Carol, because you know I can. I can't tell you about that. And Jessica can't actually tell me about that. And so we want you to know that if there were ever a need for you to get outside assistance with issues that you're dealing with, Jessica is available. And she would do a great job for you. And if she feels like she can't, or you feel like that need isn't being met fully, she'll recommend other great counselors in the area. But it's here. And it's available. And all of us have issues we need to talk through from time to time, or we know people in our lives that could benefit, and we just simply want you to know it's available. She's building, slowly building her client base. We're excited about that. And I can't stress enough the confidentiality that we don't do chit-chat as a staff about, hey, guess what? I met with this person, and whoa, we don't do that. We don't do that kind of stuff at all. She's a great professional counselor. So we're going to move on specifically to Olathe Wesleyan Church. And in our remaining time together, we want to talk about the wins of this past year. We want to talk about some challenges, maybe even concerns you would call them. And then we want to talk about what the opportunities lie ahead. What are the moments that we're looking forward to in 2016? They're going to be great. Now, I do want to mention, we went to Kansas Leadership Center this past summer and then fall out in Wichita, and they talked a lot about multiple interpretations. Those of you that went know exactly what I'm talking about. And I want you to know that as the four of us talk about our perspective on the wins or the losses or even the looking ahead opportunities, we might not mention something that you think is important. We might not talk about it as fully as you wish we would. You might say, oh man, they missed it, or oh man, they've got a different perspective. We understand that. We understand we might have missed something even today when we're done. And that doesn't mean it doesn't matter. That doesn't mean it's not a win. That doesn't mean it's not something we care deeply about. It simply means we missed it. And so there's multiple interpretations, even as we talk through this stuff today, that we just want you to be aware of. So that's the pressure point we feel today, is all this stuff matters to us. But we know we can't give more than one or two, maybe 3 minutes to a particular topic. So with that, I want to turn it over to Jim. Talk about this big win number one on our list.
Yeah, probably as we look back over the last year, one of the things that's excited us as a staff has just really been our sermon series throughout the year. As we look back at the series that we talked about, the series about Uniquely You, the fact that God created you unique and for a purpose. And he's got a plan for you. We talked about the principles of discipleship. You remember, those of you who are part of the Olathe Wesleyan Church, you remember the rest of the staff teasing me as we chose that title, The Principles of a Discipleship. But I believe it was really foundational in our focus, in the direction. It gave people tools to be intentional about making disciples. And so we're seeing that lived out. I'm excited about that. And then just recently finished up a series called The Habits of a Christ Follower, helping us to lean into some of those habits of what it means to be biblically formed, what it means to be intentionally cultivating a prayer life, some of those habits of a Christ follower.
What was a win for us wasn't the series itself, like, hey, way to go, we preach great series. What was exciting for us was to see how you took those challenges to say, here's how I'm shaped, here's what discipleship really looks like, here's what it means to be a follower of Christ, and the stories have been rippling more and more of how you're impacting somebody at work or somebody at school or somebody even in your own family or neighborhood. How it's not just, hey, great message, Janetta. It's, that's a good message from God and from you. Guess what I did about it as a result? Guess what God is doing now in my life? That's a huge win for us. When we see you guys taking, and us too, we're challenged by that personally, but when we see you living out the stuff we're teaching and talking about from God's word, which, by the way, is the authority, the foundation of our teaching, that's huge for us. Another great thing has to do with ESL and Clubhouse. Wednesday nights around here are a blast. Janetta, talk to us about even the recalibration of Wednesday nights.
First, I just want to tell you that our clubhouse goes from 3 years of age up through sixth grade, and we had to add more because the preschoolers have just multiplied. Where we used to have like 10, we now have 20 and more, and so you have to have it into two groups. And it's like, how in the world do we do that? What do we add in here? We could not do clubhouse if it wasn't for our youth. They are amazing. They are committed, they are energetic, they are discipling the others, and Thomas is sitting right back there. Just raise your hand real quick. Thomas came up through Clubhouse and he said, I can't wait till I can be a helper, till I can be an assistant. We call them purple shirts. So Thomas is one of our purple shirts who had been part of Clubhouse. It's fun to see that if somebody who maybe can't help with the older age, they help with the younger ones that are there. It is a fun night. It is a fun night. And it has grown in our community. So that's what is really cool to see, is how much it has grown. ESL, we did not know what we were going to do. It's like, oh my word, how are we going to head this up again? Because the leader that was doing it wasn't available. What are we going to do? So I met with Mark and Denise, who helped to carry a big part of the load, and said, if we were starting over, what would we do? And then began to implement what they have learned over the last couple of years of doing ESL. One of the things that we put in was that we have small group, large group, small group. Large group is a time where the classes come together, and you'll see the map back there and with the words that are on it. And it's where Janine, right here, Janine, raise your hand, does a lesson being interpreted sometimes by Erica, who's back there. Erica, raise your hand. And in that, there's always a biblical principle for them to learn, a Bible verse that's in there. There's a spiritual foundation. There's a spiritual foundation that goes through all of ESL now. Now, what's fun about that is that we begin to see life change. The other cool thing about ESL this year is that for the first time, we have multiple countries represented. So that when we go to put a Bible verse up, it has to go into how many different languages?
Six different languages.
Has to go into six different languages in order to be able to communicate and to reach. All of those things together that's been so cool is to see how something that started with Kid Zone Learning Center, then moved to Clubhouse, ESL, immigration, just to see how God is weaving us all together to impact Olathe and beyond for him. Wednesday nights as my husband would say, is the highlight. He leads up the preschool. He goes, what am I going to do when summer comes and we don't have it? What am I going to do?
Start a new ministry, Gilbert. Okay. I'm going to move my chair over. I forgot how much Janetta talks with her hands. No, that's great. Isn't that cool? One of the really cool things, thank you for sharing that. And thank you to all of you that make that night what it is. One of the cool things this year is Daniel had the opportunity. Now, he's going to talk a little bit about our partnership with Ridgeview, which is going deeper and deeper, Ridgeview Elementary. But also Alpha, our Alpha Bible study group said, you know what, let's get off-site. Let's meet outside the building. Let's expand our reach. So why don't you just give us an update where we've been with Alpha and then with Ridgeview.
Yeah, Alpha is a group of people who get together and ask any questions about the Bible, about Christianity, about life itself. And we have a core of about five or six people, and we met here at the church for some time. And one day someone said, you know what, I invite friends to come to this, but they don't want to come to a church. They feel very uncomfortable coming to church. So this was the team-driven idea. They said, why don't we go to a bar? Why don't we go to where Christians don't usually hang out, and let's try it there. So I was dumb enough to say, let's try it. So we went to several. Me and Brian went to like two or three places on two or three different nights. And what night would be best to have a Bible study in a bar? And we found one, the Double Nickel, just down the street. We started meeting there, and I forget, probably August, we started meeting there, and it was amazing how much fun we had and how barriers and how inhibitions just really fell, and people were able to talk about God and talk about Christ. I think the first night we had about 15 people there, and one of the things that's most excited about are the people that are in the bar who will come over and ask us what we're talking about and why we're talking about Jesus. Brian with an I is drunk every time, not Brian with a Y, he's Brian with a Y, but Brian with an I is drunk every time we go in, but he always comes over and talks to us. Two guys come in and play this golf game every Thursday night, and we sit there and watch them, and almost every week they'll talk to us and ask us questions. It's been an amazing thing. We're going to keep doing it. We've decided that we're going to continue to try to expand what we're doing there. We average about 8 or 9 people on a Thursday night, and it's just been an incredible experience. And then one other thing about Ridgeview I just wanted to share. I am so proud of you guys, because I remember the first time I went to Ridgeview Elementary School, again, just down the road here, and I think it was me and Janetta, and maybe Jim was there. We said to the principal, Kim Thorpe, hey, we want to do stuff there. She's like, yeah, whatever. There was this thing of, what do you really want? Why do you really want to come here and do stuff? And we started very small, doing things like a soccer club after school, doing a trunk or treat event, doing a spring egg hunt, doing different things, and mentoring has been a huge open door for us. And it's always fun to go in and sign in. I see Gordy is always the day before me. He signed in, and I see Carol and different people. And Ridgeview Elementary School has become an outreach for our church, and they will let us do just about anything there. This past December, we did a Christmas tea for the teachers, and we were there from I think 7 a.m. So we first got there, 7 till about 3, just loving on teachers and giving them gifts and giving them gift certificates. And I was just amazed at the effort you guys have put in, going there, mentoring, doing activities, doing trunk or treat, things that I would never have thought a school would let us do. We can now walk in there, and basically, they trust us. And that took several years to build. But that school trusts us, and we've been able to impact so many kids' lives. Very excited.
And one of the things I have to say, having been here a year and a half, is I'm seeing the convergence of all these different ministries. I hope you see it, but you know, I walk into Ridgeview, and I've only been here a little while compared to many of you, but I'll walk in, I'll have a student come up to me and say, hey, I know you from somewhere. And I say, oh, well, I work at Olathe Wesleyan Church, and that could be it. Or, well, we have English as a second language at our church. Oh, yeah, my mom goes to that. Or we have Clubhouse. Oh, yeah, I think I've been there before. Or we work with Mission Southside, and we did J-Train events in your neighborhood last summer. Oh, yeah. It's all these things that we are doing in our immediate community are showing up in conversations with kids and with adults. It's so cool. When we gather on Sunday, you know, there's a lot I would love to say. You know, every now and then I'll hear people. Can I just say this? Every now and then I'll hear people knock the large churches in the area. They'll come here and they'll say, oh, I like it like this. It's small. And then they'll tell me something bad about a big church. And they'll say, well, I went to this big church and it was really impersonal. And can I just tell you, I've worked at large churches mostly until here. Large churches don't have to be impersonal. And small churches can be impersonal. I've been to some impersonal small churches. So I don't get concerned about the size of our church. I don't care if it's bigger or smaller. I don't think bigger is better. I don't think smaller is better. I think healthy is better. And whether you're big or small or somewhere in between, healthy is what we're shooting for. And so one of the cool things that Jim mentioned, and I want you to share this, is, you know, we had a team go to Kenya this year, but we recently had a conversation with Pastor Brian Smith over at Westview. Jim, tell him just what he shared about our efforts as a church and partnership with them.
Yeah, it's kind of fun when you're leading an organization and all of a sudden somebody communicates something that kind of just blows your mind. You see God at work. Many of you know that we've had a partnership and done ministry in a little village outside of Marilal, Kenya, called Lariabor. And we've been doing ministry there for 6-7 years. Started off as a church meeting under a tree that built just a really unique structure. That then started a preschool and trying to educate kids. And eventually, we were able to participate and help build an actual facility where they have a couple classrooms. We were able to help build a kitchen. Compassion International came in, and over 200 and some kids are sponsored through that program. Many of you are sponsoring a child in Lariabor, Kenya, and we've got the privilege of sending teams over and being able to interact with the ministry there. But a few years ago, the Jesus film, the book of Luke was translated into the Samburu language. And the Jesus film actually overlaid the book of Luke over the actual Jesus film. And they began showing this Jesus film in communities among the Samburu. The first movie that's ever been produced in the Samburu language. And I had the privilege of being on one of these teams where we went from village to village showing the Jesus film. And amazing. One, people had never seen a movie before. And all of a sudden, they see the story of Jesus through the eyes of the author of the book of Luke. And as a result of that, communities, Bible fellowships, churches were birthed. So we were in a conversation just this last couple of weeks with Brian and Ken Black, who was the missionary in Lariabor. And they communicated to us, and this blew my mind. I had no clue. They communicated that as a result of Lariabor being planted and as a result of all that's been invested there, that actually 31 churches have been planted as a result. That's the way the kingdom of God works, right? You invest, those people capture vision, and all of a sudden it begins to expand and explode.
Yeah.
And so we're dreaming with Westview in Manhattan about what it looks like for us to be more intentional about investing resources in other communities so that we can continue to fuel the flame and spread the gospel among the Samburu in Kenya.
31 churches. 31 churches. So when you feel like a small church on a Sunday because a few of us are gone or sleeping in or sick, we're a part of 31 other churches in Kenya. Now, I know we're part of churches all over America. We're a part of churches all over the world. But our specific partnership, you know, when you think of Pastor Timothy Lesamalele, when you think of Lawrence Lesas, when you think of Peter Barakiwa, these people in Kenya who are making it happen, we're a part of this network that is changing a part of the world. And, man, praise God for that. You know, there are other ministries. I've got this whole list here that I wish I could just talk about in depth. But I think about, you know, some wins this year, like our Bible study. Nanette, thank you for experiencing God this year. I think about Chaos, our student ministry, Chaos. And I think about how the students are so connected to our worship team. They lead us in worship every Sunday. Yordi and Gail and I are the old folks on the platform, you know, and they lead us in worship. They went out into neighborhoods this summer and did J-Train and did it really on their own. I just sat and facilitated, resourced, but they led games and they shared testimonies and they led the Bible stories. And man, thank you guys. It just blows my mind. This year we started Guy Time for men to get together early on a Saturday once a month. And it's early. I hate early, but we get together. And I remember telling Jim, I hope 5 or 6 guys show up. And we've averaged 12 to 15 men once a month on a Saturday morning who are just getting honest before God, going through a Tony Evans book. And it's been so cool just to see that happen. Sunday morning Kids Zone. One of our goals this year was to not have Janetta. She's a pastor, and she's not just a children's pastor. What's going on with my mic? She's an ordained minister. And we're like, how can we get her out of children's stuff all the time? And so we've built and continue to build a regular rotation. And I'm thankful for everybody who's rotated in. Rodney, thank you. Terry, thank you. Where's Jacob? Is Jacob here today? He's with some kids upstairs right now, okay. And now Janine's on this rotation. Thank you for making that possible. Daniel, thank you for your flexibility with that. It's been cool to see that. We tried a community movie night, and it went really well. It was on a night when the Royals were playing in the World Series, and we were like, oh, no. Like, when we scheduled it, we had no idea for sure that they'd be in. You already had faith, but nobody else had faith. And still, like 150 people showed up. And we're going to do it again. And I've been telling Daniel oversees stuff like that. But, you know, Jared and Gary were so helpful with that night. And others were as well. But just, like, so cool to see these other ministry opportunities happening. Run for God. You know, Marsha and Richard, thanks for opening your home and creating a place where people can run. There's some people here today as a result of Run for God that weren't here before you started that ministry. And it's just so cool. People are getting healthier, but they're also studying God's Word, so they're getting healthier. And we all gained our weight back over the holiday, but we'll get back at it. And it's just so cool to see this. But Jim wanted to talk specifically about, I know it was part of a series, but it's actually part of something that we look at as core, and it's the anatomy of a disciple. And Jim, why don't you just catch us up once again briefly on that. He's got a slide.
I believe there's a slide for this. But as we talk about the anatomy of a disciple, it's really one of the things that we use as staff to measure how are we doing as a church? How are we doing at making disciples? Just thinking back, it all begins with us being humbly submitted. As we're humbly submitted to God, we allow ourselves to become biblically formed. We begin to realize that the Bible is the Word of God, that it speaks to our life, that it is our guide, it is our focus. And as we kind of transform our mind by understanding the Bible better, it shows itself in 3 ways. It shows itself by us becoming morally discerning. It shows itself by us becoming relationally healthy. And it shows itself by us becoming sacrificially generous. And I don't know about the rest of the staff, but for me, it is an absolute joy for me to see people living out being sacrificially generous. Just want to share a story, and I didn't get permission ahead of time. I may have to pay somebody $1 or something afterwards. But last Monday, what happened last Monday? It snowed, right? And I showed up at work early in the morning and parked my car out here, and it sat there all day. And at the end of the day, I got ready to leave. It was close to 6 o'clock, and I peeked out the window, and I noticed somebody scraping my windows on my car. And I'm like, you know, that is really cool. Well, then I came out and I walked out the front door. I started walking towards my car. I grabbed my scraper out of my car to help scrape the windows. And I looked, and Maggie Odell was scraping the other cars. And then I looked in the parking lot. And all the windows of all the cars had been scraped. People who had showed up early in the morning to work at Kids Own Learning Center at 6:30, their cars were cleaned up and ready to go. I love seeing that happen. Danica was the other person who was scraping the cars, and I was helping. And I don't know about you, but I dream about the day when people are trying to outserve one another, that you just look for opportunities where things are being done, just simple things, but where people are giving of themselves, considering other people first, and doing that stuff. Man, what would it look like if we were stepping over each other, trying to serve, trying to give, trying to invest in the kingdom? I believe that's what we're trying to build. I believe that's what God's calling us to. And I'm seeing glimpses of it. So thank you for that. And just ask that we continue to look for ways to serve and to give and to bless others.
Yeah, I see it. You know, with the worship team, most of you would never know this. And I don't say it for pats on the back for these people, but the worship team comes early on Sunday mornings. They're here at 8:30, 8:45. They park in the back or even on the grass. Now we have, you know, snow and ice, so we're having to get more creative where we park. But we try not to take front spots. We try not to take prime spots right up front. We try to park in the back or on the grass to serve you. We ask people to sit in the front because, you know, if somebody's new to church, they tend not to like to sit right up front. They'd rather be in the back, be anonymous, and that's okay. And so parking in the back, sitting up front, you know, having this mindset that it's not about us. And I know that's tricky because it is about us. We're the church and we're part of the kingdom of God. But, you know, Jesus laid down his life for others, for us. And so we see it as an opportunity to lay down our lives, to serve other people, to say, you know, as we're a part of the kingdom, it's kind of a paradox, but it's less and less about us. And it's more about other people. And, you know, I remember Andrew and I having a great talk with J-Train this year and soccer club, like, leaders eat last. Now, I didn't do that today. I ate some donuts before y'all got here. But you know, leaders eat last. Leaders give up their seat. Leaders do whatever they got to do. And actually, I would say not leaders, disciples. That's what followers of Jesus do. And it's been cool to see marriages reconciling, friendships getting healthy, people giving, beginning to give of their time and their talent, their treasure. Here's an interesting one. I've been inviting people to this, and I've been seeing it. I've been asking people, and I think we have too, to pray more for spiritual needs than for physical needs. Now, don't hear me wrong. Don't write down, Ken doesn't care about physical needs. I do. But at the end of the day, you can be healthy as a horse, and you can die and go to hell. Or you can be really sick and be right with Jesus. And so I'll pray for your aunt. I'll pray for your grandpa. I'll pray for anybody you ask me to pray for about any physical need you ever ask me to pray about. I will, and I'll mean it. But I would love to see us shifting more and more and more toward prayers that are of a spiritual nature for people who are far from God or close to the kingdom. And how can we pray for them? How can we win them? How can we influence them? Not for ourselves, not for our church attendance, but for the kingdom. I worked with a guy named John Bray, and John would say this, and it wrecked me, and I hope it wrecks you the way it wrecked me. John would say, on a regular basis, he would say, as long as there's one person in our community that doesn't know Jesus, our church is not big enough. Because people would come and they'd say, man, this church is so, and it was a big church. This place is so big, this place is too big. And he'd say, as long as there's one person in this community that doesn't know Jesus, we're not big enough. We've got to reach that person. We've got to reach that person. And that's how I feel about Olathe. That's how I feel about Olathe Wesleyan. As long as there's one person in our corner of Johnson County that doesn't know Jesus, we're not big enough. And you say, well, how big's too big? I don't know. We'll plant another church. We don't have to be this monster play. We'll plant another church, and they'll plant another church. Then we'll plant more churches. We have a bunch of small churches that are this major big network. I don't care. But as long as there's one person. And that's been cool to see that showing up through anatomy of a disciple, that moral discernment, relational health, sacrificial generosity. Now, there are some challenges. There are some concerns. We got four of them. I'm sure there are more. You might have some, but here are the four that we want to talk about. I'm going to ask Janetta to talk about the issue, the challenge, the concern about sharing and giving ministry away. So, Janetta, take it away.
We call, when you're not just doing something structurally, like we're going to do step one, step two, step three, if we're not doing it just like that, we call it adaptive challenge. And the thing about adaptive challenge is that it's messy, and there's not a real lot of organization with it, and where it's going to go, you're not really sure. But you want to solve a bigger problem or a bigger issue. One of the things that we want to make sure is that we know how to help each person discover what it is that God has called them to do for his kingdom. We did a part of it doing the timeline and your personal timeline. It was looking at how has God used my past to where he is right now to where he wants me to be in the future. And the thing is, every single one of us have something that God has called each one of us as an individual to do for him, for his kingdom. And it's not up to a pastor or a teacher or anybody else to tell you what that is. But we are to come along beside and say, how can we help you figure it out what it is? And then how can we help you to become all that God has intended you to become for his glory? I look at our church. And having worked with hundreds of churches that I've worked with, it wasn't unusual to have this thing that we called the Pareto Principle, which meant that 20% of the people did 80% of the work. What we're saying at this church is we don't have that. We have a much, 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 much higher ratio of people that are doing what God has called them to do. But until every single person is doing what God has called them to do and multiplies that out into other people that they're working with so that the other people are doing what God has called them to do, we're not there. That's a challenge. How do you help people to realize that God's given them, as an individual, God has given each one of us something unique to do for him? How do we help everybody to live that out?
Yeah, and so that's a challenge. It's also a great opportunity. You know, I would say if you're not in the game, get in the game. And it's not a game. It's the kingdom. But it's a great challenge. It's a great opportunity. And if we can help you discover what it is that God has called you to uniquely do or to partner in an existing area, let us know. Jim's got one. You know, he's got an interesting perspective. He's been lead pastor here for a number of years, and he had one that wasn't on my radar as we were talking and comparing notes, but this one he's feeling pretty passionate about. Why don't you talk about corporate worship and your thoughts on that as a challenge?
Yeah, as a church, I think that we're missing out on a great opportunity. When I think about worship, I think worship is one of the most evangelistic things that we can do as a person, as a people. I believe that as we engage with God, the creator of the universe, our Savior, the one who forgives, the one who redeems, the one who shows mercy, that if we worship God in spirit and in truth, that others will find that attractive. And so I would just pose the question, as I look out on Sunday morning, as the worship team looks out on Sunday morning and seeing people engaged in worship together, does your posture reflect the fact that you are standing before a holy, awesome, incredible God who loves you? And if not, why not? And what could be done to help you understand that when you come in on a Sunday morning, it's a tremendous privilege, awesome privilege, to be able to worship the one and only God, our Creator. And so I hope in 2016 that we would take a serious look at what it is for us to worship and how we can help others worship around us who may not be inclined to do that by being fully engaged with God.
Mm-hmm. So another challenge has to do with the issue of dependence and dependence on God. the issue of relying on God, and specifically through prayer. And I've asked Daniel to talk to us about upping our prayer temperature. Now, I don't want you to hear this and say, up yours. No, up yours. We're talking about upping your prayer temperature. Thank you, Gail. Appreciate it. Daniel, talk to us. What would it look like as we address this challenge of our prayer lives and the prayer temperature as a church?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 months ago, it was during the fall series before back at Jim got up and talked about when he read the Bible and when he prayed. And it kind of put me to shame because he talked about what he read and how he read it and what he was praying. And I had to ask myself, I'm a pastor here. I teach at a Christian school and woohoo, you know, I'm supposed to have this together. I thought to myself, wow, my prayer life kind of isn't what it should be. And so I went and put on my calendar every morning just Daniel pray. I just put that on my calendar and every night to read a passage of scripture. For me, it's the 51st Psalm, which if you ever go back and read it, I mess up a lot, so I have to ask God to forgive me every night. And it's been phenomenal to see what God might be trying to do in my life because I actually talk to him purposefully each day. We were thinking as a staff, what would it be like if we started bathing everything we do in prayer, especially our ministries? Ken talked a minute ago about not praying for, you know, a broken foot or a car that won't crank. Those things are important. But praying for God's Holy Spirit to move through us, to empower us to remove barriers between our community and Jesus Christ. Jesus loves our community. Wherever they're from, whatever their socioeconomic standing is, what country they've come from, God loves our community. And he wants us to be able to be unencumbered to point people towards him. So what would that look like? One of the things that I agree, and our staff has talked about this, is we have got to be people of prayer. When I get in trouble, my prayer life gets really good. But then it sort of just drifts into every once in a while. But I know there's some people in this church that pray for me. Thelma gave me a Christmas card this year, and in that card she says, Daniel, I pray for you every day, you need it, something like that. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, I really do. And my Alpha group, I remember right after my mom passed away, I asked them, I told them one of the biggest fears I had was I wasn't going to have anybody praying for me every day because my mom did every day. And so I had Richard say, I'm going to start praying for you every day, especially for your relationship with your sister. And God has shown up with that. Marcia saying, I'm going to pray about this. And God has shown up. Guys, we need to be better at asking God to bathe everything we do, every attitude, every action, every ministry thought we have. We've got to take it to God. Whenever somebody comes and asks me, hey, let's do a movie night or let's do a community Bible thing, my first thought is, who am I getting to do it? How are we going to be able to pay for it? That's my first thought, and that shouldn't be. My first thought should be, let's pray about that. That's not a way to put somebody off, but say, let's ask God what he thinks about this, and let's take it to him and give it to him. That doesn't take us away from responsibility, but what would it be if every ministry we did in the year 2016 was birthed in prayer, was marinated in prayer all the time, and we just prayed for God to help us to be on the right track. And mm-hmm. So I think we could do it as a church. Yeah. I really do think we could do it as an individual. I think prayer is important for us.
So you've heard those three. Are you hearing it? Is it clear? Those are challenges. Those are concerns. And in a sense, they're opportunities, right? What would it look like for me to raise the temperature of my personal prayer life? What would it look like for us as a church to raise our personal prayer lives? What would it look like for us to serve and give ourselves away to the things God has called us to do? What would that look like? What would it look like for me to check my posture and attitude of worship? What would that look like? The fourth one has to do, and this is the final one before we move on to some looking ahead conversation. We had to clarify recently with our district. We're part of a district of Wesleyan churches, and we had to clarify a conversation that I want to clarify with you. There was a perception, I don't know how great it was in our district, but there was a perception that because we're a church with four pastors on staff, that everything's fine. And everything's not fine. Now, I want you to know everything's fine relationally between the four of us. We have our good days and our bad days, but everything's fine. I think Tim asked, you know, with the state of the church, is someone resigning? No, nothing like that. I mean, Janetta will retire within the next 20 or 30 years, but other than that, everything's great. But everything's not fine when you look at what's happening here with four pastors in a church that's barely averaging 100. You know, Jim, at great personal sacrifice, and I told him, let me say this, because he can't say this, but I want you to hear it. At great personal sacrifice, made room for me to come here. And actually made room for Carol to come here with Immigrant Connection. Jim works a couple other jobs. Janetta wears two hats. And a third hat occasionally, depending on when Pastor Serve calls for a consult. So these are people who work multiple jobs. Daniel is a professor. He's a professor, teaches at different universities. He's a professor. I told the district, I feel guilty. I'm the only pastor that doesn't have more than one job. Should I go get another job? And then I said, what you need to know as a district, and I think you need to know this as a church, the four of us, if you put all of our salary together, make what about one pastor makes in most of our churches in our district. Other than health insurance, Jim doesn't take any money from the church. And I won't go into great detail, though you could find out how much each of us is paid. But I want you to know that, because we do get that a lot. We get people go, wow, you have four pastors? How big is your church? And there's been great sacrifice, particularly with these three, as they've made room for me. And then even when you add it all together, it's not this huge chunk of the piece of the pie. The other part of that is, lately, I've had some people say, and I wanted to address this, I've had people say, man, we've got a lot of new stuff around the church. I've seen new chairs and new tables, and these black chairs you're sitting on have been in the building for years. We just finally said, let's put them in the worship center and take the red ones out. I had so many red ones falling apart, but we didn't go buy these black chairs. I mean, we wish we had the money for it. We can't even pay our district assessment. We can't. Tables, we bought some new tables. That came out of insurance money when the basement flooded, which, by the way, it flooded twice. And Gilbert and some other people have been amazing to say, we'll cut costs by doing the work ourselves. Gilbert, thank you, thank you, thank you. But there's been some new things popping up because people have donated time or money, or insurance has just paid for it. Jeanette had somebody donate some stuff to the daycare recently, some really nice stuff. And there's always a, did we buy that? How can we afford that? I thought we were on a spending freeze. I thought things were tight. Yeah, they are. You know, our budget right now, we're about $35,000 behind budget for the year. Our church year goes from June to May. So though it's a brand new Happy New Year, we're halfway, a little more than halfway through the year. And we're $35,000 behind budget. Now, here's the catch. Because of Kids Zone Learning Center, we generate revenue that covers Olathe Wesleyan Church. So in a very real sense, we're subsidized by Kids Zone Learning Center. The problem is, because we're behind budget and are on track to maybe be $60,000, $70,000 behind budget, profit from that will be eaten up as a result of the church. And so that's a challenge, that's a concern, because as Jim's about to do, as he talks to you about a couple big opportunities looking ahead, we need resource. And I don't say that we need resource for the four of us. We need resource for some big dreams and some plans that I think God has for us. And so I just want you to be aware of that, that you can't assume when something's new or something's nice that we're going out and wasting money. We're not. We're trying to be very careful. And even as a staff, we're trying to be very careful with that resource. And I'm sure there's more. Like I said, take notes, coffee, Coke. We can talk later. But let's start moving to the looking ahead part. And Jim, I know you wanted to talk about some of that right there. So sure. Have at it.
I asked Jordy this morning when he came in, I asked him the question, and I asked if it would be a fair statement to say that since its inception, since the Olathe Wesleyan Church was planted, was it under-resourced? I've heard some of the stories of Pastor Clark and Thelma. I've heard some of the founding members tell stories about just kind of making it, going without a paycheck, or those things in the early days. And I think it's a fair statement that the Olathe Wesleyan Church has always been under-resourced. They've always needed a little more from something. So there was a day when we had a Christian school here, and the Christian school paid rent to the church, and that helped offset some of the expenses as we go forward. Many of you drove in today, and I almost wanted to stand up at the start of the service and welcome you to the Beirut Wesleyan Church as you drove on our parking lot, but I didn't. I chose not to. Welcome to the Olathe Wesleyan Church.
It looks like Lebanon now, but yes.
It okay. actually looks a lot better than it did earlier this week when the snow and after the snow melt and just the whole thing was buckling. As I look to the future, I realize that, let me give you some perspective, right? I've been here going on 8 years. My first Sunday, I walked in the door. I preached a message, and Rodney had some financial statements in my mailbox. After service, I went out and looked at it. And the financial statement said something like we had like negative $5,000 in the bank account that week. We had like a $1,000 offering. And I'm like, what in the world did I get myself into? Right? You can imagine. That was only a small part of the problem. Because at the same time, we had probably a couple $100,000 of deferred maintenance that hadn't been paid. We had air conditioning unit in the gym of $20,000 or $30,000 that hadn't been fixed. We had plumbing issues all around the building. We had a daycare space that was just absolutely almost unusable. We've come a long way in the last 7 or 8 years. We have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars investing in this facility as a church. We have invested overseas in places like Larry Abor. In fact, until recently, we had sent a better video projection system to our Kids Zone ministry upstairs and to Larry Abor Kenya than we had here in this facility, because we believed that that's what God would have us to do. So as I look to the future, I realize that there are a couple huge rocks that need to be moved. One is we have a pressing issue with regards to our parking lot. As we look at quotes for fixing our parking lot, to patch it and kind of do a minimum fix, we're at somewhere around $100,000. To kind of replace what's there with concrete, we're looking somewhere in the $250,000 range. That's if we desire to add any parking spots to it, it goes up astronomically to the tune of about $450,000. That's a huge rock that needs to be moved. And in my opinion, it's got to be moved in 2016. We have got to address that issue. But at the same point, I believe that God, and we've been praying about it as a leadership team for years, but I believe that God is opening the door for us to participate in the planting of a new church as we look to partner with other churches in planting a new church. And that, for us to commit to that, we're looking at somewhere $20,000 a year over 3 years, so a $60,000 investment. That's a huge rock that needs to move. I dream about the day when we can no longer say that the Olathe Wesleyan Church is under-resourced. Right? Now, we've come a very long way. We've taken huge steps in the right direction. And I believe that it is within our reach to get to that point where we're not under-resourced, where we can address the issues of parking lot and facility at the same time of looking outside of ourselves to the planting of a new church in partnership with other churches. I honestly believe that we can do it. And I honestly believe that the resources in this room can get us there.
You know, one of the cool things, you know, Jim had me with him last month. We sent out end-of-year giving statements. And, man, thank you. So many of you have given so faithfully. And I sat there signing those, just literally praying over them. But then there were other people that I know are new to the church, and it was fun to see, like, the giving, like just starting this idea of financial partnership. And I've been a Christian a while, and so giving's just been part of it. But I remember those days when it wasn't regular and consistent. And so signing letters of people who gave here and there, and you know, and just what does this look like? And I've had some conversations offline, and just praying that, man, it would be so cool to see that, to see how God would just continue to bless as people step into that area of giving. And then there were some others where I was like, I don't have a letter for this person. Like, I don't know what that means. I don't know, did they not give anything, or did they give anonymously? But I just, for me as the campus pastor to say to you, we've got to take care of these things. These things matter. You know, some of you remember the message I shared where my grandma Jenkins said, are you robbing God? Don't rob God. Because we got to take care of the parking lot, and we got to take care of church planting. And it's not either or. It's not, well, we'll take care of the parking lot now and we'll figure out church planting later. Or we'll plant now and we'll just continue to live in Beirut parking lot. No, it's both and. It's now. We got to do this year. I'm feeling it. I don't know if you're feeling it, but we're feeling it. This is the stuff right here that keeps us up, that keeps us thinking, how can we, God, how can we do this? We believe you've called us to this. How can we do it? There's biblical formation. You know, I can't wait to tell you more next week and in the weeks following. You're going to be hearing from Daniel, because Daniel's going to kind of carry this torch for us about the community Bible experience. We're going to do that again. Next week, we launch a brand new series on the book of John. And biblical formation is going to continue to be a goal for us, that we're going to be shaped by God's word. And so community Bible experience and a pretty extensive study of the book of John is going to be part of our 2016. There's this issue of more ownership that, as Daniel talked about upping our prayer temperature, here's the thing, what if we prayed more for people to come to know Christ, for baptisms to take place, for the power of the Holy Spirit to be so evident in our worship times that we'd say, man, that God showed up. And that prayer wouldn't be just something that we do as a perfunctory task of the church on a Sunday morning or before a group meeting, that it would just permeate everything that we do, that we pray and fast. Jim told me that Ken Black is a hero of ours. By the way, if you don't know that name, Ken Black is a hero of ours. He was on the mission field, he and his wife Susan, in Kenya. And apparently Ken came here not too long ago, and he looked around at all the stuff, and he said, how in the world are you doing all this? How are you doing all this? And I know some of you think that too. You're like, how are we doing all this? It's because God's showing up. So Janetta, this week when I said, what could we communicate to our church about expectations for 2016? How can we, if people are like, what's the on-ramp? Janetta, you said, and I don't know if you want to just talk about it briefly, but you said, I wrote it down, she said, I want to know, are you with us? Because it can't be just the four of us thinking all this stuff's a really good idea. I want to know, are you with us? Do you want to comment on that?
I look at everything that God has accomplished here in the last years, and I look at everything that I feel like he wants us to do. I think there's this one value in the back wall that it's like, that's the one that weighs really heavy on me. It's the value of communitas. And communitas is who is with you, come hell or high water, through the thick and thin, the good and bad, the costing a whole lot or costing nothing. Who's there with you in the trenches? That no matter what, you know that you're in this battle together. And I do think it's a battle. I think it's a battle to put what Jesus has for us to do first. And you do. It's like, who, no matter what, is locking arms with you to get this done?
You know, for me, you know, I put this list together, and then we talked about it and chewed it up. And, you know, some things that I wrote down are show up. Just show up. You know, 2016, show up. Be consistent. Be around as much as you can. I know people are sick, or kids get sick, or you got to go visit family. But just regularly be in here to meet people, to see what's going on, to hear the teaching, to participate in ministry. Just show up. You know, they say the average church attender goes to church now, it's like once or twice a month. And I go, no, that's not good. Show up. Show up more consistently. Make this your best church attendance year yet. And I don't mean that. I know. I'm biased. I'm a pastor. You know, you might be going, you need me here for your count. No. You need you here because God can do something unusually significant when you show up with regularity. There's just something about it that takes place. Show up. And once you show up, the other stuff, I think, starts to take care of itself. Then you serve. Then you give. Then you lead. Then you pray. Then you anticipate. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. He said that, right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. If you treasure this, if you treasure this place, if you treasure what God is up to at Olathe Wesleyan with all of our facets of ministry, if you treasure that, show up. Because that's where your heart's going to be. The Wesleyan Church used to have this thing for missions. Then they'd say, we want you to pray, give, and go. So pray about it, then give toward it, and then go. Eventually go. And I heard a missionary say, nah, it's out of order. Don't pray. Don't even give. Just go. Because once you go, then you'll pray. And once you go and then you pray, then you'll start giving. I found that out. Jeremiah knows this. I found this out with Kenya. Just go. Jim and Jeanette and Daniel just said, dude, you just got to go. Well, I don't even know how to pray. Nah, just go. Well, I know we're giving toward it. Just go. And once you go, oh, okay, now I know how to pray. Now I know what to give toward. And I feel that way about this place. Just show up. Just show up. And then you'll know where to pray, where to give. All that stuff will take care of itself. And I would say, have a it's not about me mindset. If there's one thing I do pray on a regular basis for our church, it's that God would help us see that we are supposed to be dead to ourselves. And every now and then I hear a conversation or I hear a comment and I go, that person's not dead to themselves. It's about them. Church is still about them. God, help that person. Just help them. And I don't pray it to be judgmental. I've had to go through that same work myself, and I still have to nail that one down again from time to time. But this is not about us. You guys know that, right? Now that we're in, we're actually out. Once you're in, it's not about you. You're dead. You've died to yourself. It is Christ who lives in me. I don't want people to see me. I don't want people to see Jeanette or Jim or Daniel. I don't want them to see you. I want them to see Jesus. We are here to make Jesus famous. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Based on God's word, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Son is Jesus. We don't just say we love God. No, specifically, we love God, but we love Jesus. And we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives. That's why I'm here. Is that why you're here? If that's not why you're here, then I invite you to get in the game. Then I invite you to become a part of what we are about as Olathe Wesleyan Church. We are here to cultivate a church multiplication movement where we make disciples. Who do what? Who make disciples? Who do what? Who make disciples? That's what we're here for. That's what we're about. That's what we're called to be. So, I told you at the very beginning, and we've taken a lot of time, grand experiment, umbrella of grace. Jude, thank you. Even Jude did it. Umbrella of grace. I don't know if we've knocked it out of the park. I don't know if we've confused things more than clarified them. But I do know this. It's not the end of the conversation. The reality is we can have coffee, we can have a Coke, we can meet and talk about things that maybe you're like, hey, I want to hear more about this, or hey, how come you guys didn't mention this, or how can I help with, we're wide open to that conversation, wide open to it. And so forgive us if we failed something today, If we've done something well, praise God. But I wanted you to know, we wanted you to know the state of the church in 2016. We wanted you to know where we've been, where we're at, where we're headed, the things that keep us up at night, because we need you to pray with us. Please don't let us carry this by ourselves. Please, please, please. One of the reasons I love coming here is I think, Jim will never say this out loud, but I think one of the reasons Jim got me here is I think Jim's a brilliant man, and I think he loves Jesus like crazy. But sometimes to get it all out of his head, sometimes that's a challenge. But the more we can get the vision out of just his head or even our heads into all of our heads, I think God's going to do some tremendous things for our church. I really believe that. I love being here. So we got to wrap this thing up. I'd love to tell you more. There's some stuff coming up. We got Super Bowl parties and community Bible experience, the study of John. This year, we are going to send a mission team to Washington State. I don't know if you know this, but God has brought some Macaw Indians to our church, and they know people back in Washington State that work with the Macaw Indians, that there are churches, there's a reservation, and we're going to go. Now, it's going to be sponsored by Chaos, our student ministry, but Janetta's recruiting anybody and everybody who will go as well, and so we'd love for you to be a part of that. And I don't think it's off the table for us to take another team to Kenya again in 2016. So I don't know exactly what that'll look like. We're still thinking out loud on that one, but we would love to go and just continue to fan the flame there. There are some great men and women that are there. Daniel, I want you to pray for us, and then we'll close the service. But would you just pray for everything we've talked about here today?
Guys, join me. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to be a part of your redemptive work. Thank you that this place was founded by a couple who loved you and wanted to see a church that reached people who were unreached. And thank you that it's led by lay people and volunteers and staff that desperately want to remove barriers between them and Jesus Christ. God, help us to do that. There's so many things going on in 2016. Help us to fully engage. Help us to seek your wisdom and your guidance. And just thank you for this opportunity to know that the state of our church is stronger than it was a year ago. And I pray that a year from now, it'll be even stronger because your Spirit's free to work in us. In Jesus' strong name, I pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. To learn more about us, visit us at www.olathewesleyan.org or visit us on Sunday morning at our 10:30 a.m. worship service. Thanks again.